Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we've been discussing the subject of spiritual and scriptural marriage and family life. I've been trying to emphasize throughout this series of messages how important this is, even for young people who may be listening to these programs. Even for young people, this subject is vitally important, because young people in the courtship stages of their lives, when they're just deciding who will I marry and when will I get married and what kind of home will we have someday and what kind of marriage relationship will we have, these young people are making decisions. Many times these decisions are not spiritual in nature. In other words, they're neglecting the spiritual side of things. But this is also possible in a marriage relationship, that we may become so entrapped by the demands of daily life, by the demands of outside responsibilities and other factors, that we neglect spiritual things in our marriage relationship. And so I personally believe that this subject of marriage and family from a scriptural standpoint is vitally important for us to consider. And this is why, in this long series of messages, we're taking a number of different things. We've discussed, for instance, about the courtship relationship and how young people should conduct themselves, the purity of this relationship, keep themselves absolutely pure for marriage to come, so that when they stand at the marriage altar and they're making their vows to each other, they can look each other in the eye and they can stand together as pure young people, now to be married and united for life. And the same is true in the marriage relationship itself. We want our marriages to be everything that God wants them to be. We want to be sure that we're pleasing God and that God is going to bless our homes and our families because we're pleasing Him. So we've discussed a number of things. I want to pick up on one thing that I said in my last message. This had to do with the whole idea of people who have outside demands upon their lives and how can they handle these outside demands. We especially spoke of professionals and pastors and missionaries, people who are under very heavy stress as far as outside demands are concerned. And of course, I've been speaking as a pastor and a missionary. I've been a missionary now over a period of some 53 years, and I'm speaking as a pastor and a missionary, and I recognize the stress and the strain of outside demands and how these require so much time and everything. I've had to raise 4 children with all of these stresses in my life, and yet God has helped me to raise 4 children who are now following the Lord. 3 of them are missionaries. The other one is working for the Lord in New York, but he's living a very, very spiritual life. Now, I want to answer one little question, and then I want to go on to a new topic altogether. The question comes now, what if someone feels called to undistracted work for the Lord? That's the phrase people use. I want to be undistracted in my work for the Lord. You're talking now about a pastor. You're talking about a missionary, for instance, who is taking such a stand. I want to be undistracted in my work for the Lord. There's nothing wrong with this phrase as long as you consider the consequences of following this all the way. Now, this person feels, I cannot find a scriptural balance between the work that God has called me to do and the family that God has given me. What should I do? Well, my suggestions have been that this person is going to have to find the balance. He's going to have to find that balance because the scriptures clearly teach such a balance is necessary. We read from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In other words, when you got married, you accepted this responsibility. So in other words, you're going to have to find that balance. And no matter what the sacrifices might be, no matter what adjustments you might have to make, no matter what changes you're going to have to make in your schedules and everything, you're going to have to find that balance. Your children need family worship. Your children need a father who has hands-on experience in the home, who is there for the children, who is advising them, who's training them in the things of God, who's being a good spiritual leader of the home, a good testimony both to wife and to the children. So you're going to have to find that balance. Now suppose I'm not yet married, and I'm called to the work of God. Let's take this situation now. I'm not yet married, but I'm called to the work of God. What should I do? My suggestion may seem very radical to some of you, but I think it's very scriptural, and that is, many of you should consider never being married. In other words, suppose you feel that God wants you to climb the mountains of New Guinea, and I say this very respectfully. There are many, many faithful missionaries climbing those mountains for God. But suppose God wants you to go to a remote area of the world, wants you to work for God in some way. Then you should consider never being married, because such a profession, such a task, is going to require long weeks, even months, away from the family. When the children have no father, they have no one to train them, no one to raise them, and they may not see him for many, many months. And if this is the case, it may be that like the Apostle Paul, like Timothy, like Titus, you simply would never be married. Now, in a number of different passages, Paul seems to indicate that that was his situation, and that is that he was simply not married. He was free to do whatever God wanted him to do because he didn't bring along a wife. Now, marriage is a very wonderful thing and a very important thing, and I believe a person can be a missionary, they can be a pastor, and be married. But again, if they cannot find the balance, they need to consider simply not being married at all. In other words, I give up this right that I have for the sake of the work that God has called me to do. And there's nothing wrong with this. We would never make fun of, we would never ridicule someone who's not married, because that's the leading God has given them. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 seems to teach that many are called not to be married at all, and are to undistracted work for the Lord. And what a wonderful thing this would be if a person were willing to do this. And so in your life, you may have to consider such a possibility. You may have to consider this. Okay. In your life, you may have to consider this possibility. If you find you cannot find the balance, then simply don't get married at all. And God would honor you for this decision. And for the rest of your life, God would be your comfort, your encouragement, and he would be your constant companion. Now, having said this, I want to leave this subject now, and I want to go into a new subject altogether. We will just introduce this subject today, and then we'll take it a little bit further in the coming messages. I want to talk about this subject of growing old together in the Christian marriage bond. I never let my wife actually use the word old. I let her use the word older, because I'm old enough to be the grandfather of many of you. The word older can refer to someone who's 25 years of age who is older than somebody who is 20 years of age. But anyhow, let's leave the joke aside. And I want to talk about this subject of growing old together in the Christian marriage bond. I have attended many ceremonies for people who have been married 40, 50, 60 years. What a wonderful testimony this is, that God led them together 40, 50, 60 years ago, and they're still happily married. They're still together. They've never had any possibility of separation or divorce. They're still together. And I've attended many of these ceremonies, and of course these ceremonies are all positive. People stand up, they give testimony concerning these people, and the people themselves are sitting there contentedly. They may be using a cane or something, and I say this very respectfully. They may be using a cane and everything to get around. They may be somewhat infirm, and they may not be able to go out very much, but they sit there contentedly listening to the commendation of the people around them. Now, what I want to say very, very carefully, because I'm an older person myself. I've been around for many, many years. As I have said, I'm old enough to be the grandfather of many of you. But what I want to say is this, that just because people have been married 40, 50, 60 years does not mean they necessarily have a close and a profitable marriage before God. Let's be very honest, and I speak to you as an older person. Remember this. I speak to you as an older person, but let's be very honest before God. Many marriages of people who've been married many years are not close marriages anymore. In other words, they have lost the joy of marriage life. They've lost the joy of being together. They tend to be somewhat grumpy with each other. They tend to be somewhat critical of each other. In other words, there are tensions in their lives. They would never consider breaking up the marriage or separating in any way, but they're not really happy with each other anymore. They don't have that close relationship. It is a plan of God in a marriage relationship that a marriage relationship would continually draw closer and closer. In other words, through the years, they would grow in their relationship with each other. They would be more closely bonded with each other than they were when they were first married. I know when I was first married many, many years ago, clear back in 1958, I married my first wife. And I remember when we were married, we had many adjustments to make. We were very much alike in many ways, but we had many, many adjustments to make. And I remember how God had to teach us in our early years of married life and how He bonded us close together. And I thank the Lord as I look back over that first marriage. And of course, I want to thank the Lord for being married to Joyce now for these 4 years that we've been married after our spouses died. But as I look back over that first marriage, I can see how we were closer and closer and closer in our marriage relationship. I can see how God helped us to make changes in our lives, how He molded and shaped us so that we would not have tensions between us. And as I look back, and this may be a deceptive way of looking back, but I cannot remember ever really having a quarrel in that marriage. We sometimes would have little disagreements, but we learned from God that we were to settle these. We were to tell each other we were sorry, ask forgiveness, the matter would be settled. And we had a very peaceful life. We raised our children in that kind of atmosphere, a very peaceful atmosphere. And when there were little tensions, God would help us to take care of these tensions very quickly and sometimes very easily. So I look back with great joy to that marriage relationship, that when my wife died in the year 2000, at the very beginning of the year 2000, my wife died. And I remember the peace that we both had as we look back over 41 happy years of marriage. We just had this peace that God had blessed us, He had used us, He had used us together. My wife had an important place in our ministry, and I had an important place. We worked very happily and very cooperatively together. And so what I'm trying to say is this, that when we look back on a marriage relationship, even though we've been married many years, and we look back sometimes with shame, not with shame because of bad things we have done, but shame because a marriage has not been everything God wanted it to be. When we look back with shame before God, we need to consider, where did we fail? And what could we do in the remaining years of our lives to correct some of these things? Now, I want to be very fair and very honest. As long as children were in the home, in such marriages, these long-term marriages I'm speaking about, as long as children were in the home, many times the marriages were succeeding. They were very successful because the children were there. And the children helped alleviate some of the tensions the husband and wife may have had with each other, some of the differences they may have had, some of the strains they may have had. I talked about this in an earlier several earlier messages, the strains that people have in their marriage relationships. And so as they look back over some of these strains and all that they have, these strains never really disturbed them because the children were there, and they were able to go on. But then, once the children were gone, then the tensions began to form. They realized there were some unsettled problems between them. There were some differences between them, which had never, never been taken care of. There were strains that they had never dealt with in spiritual ways. And so many times, people in this kind of relationship have discovered they never really had a happy marriage. They were never that close in their marriages. Now, I'm not trying to discourage you. Don't misunderstand me. I want to continue this subject, but I'm trying to simply point out to you the problem in such marriages. that we need to be very honest with these problems. We need to face them very honestly before God, and we need to settle these matters. How can we end our lives and have happy, close, warm spiritual marriages? May God help you to understand what the problems may be and then to deal with these problems as we continue this subject. May the Lord bless you, each one.